My parents got divorced in the spring of my third grade year of school. And throughout that summer and into the fall, they actually dated, which was incredibly strange. That Christmas was our first Christmas as a broken family. Now, you would think that would be a terrible thing, but in fact, it was great. My mother was incredibly concerned that we were, you know, thinking that possibly the divorce was our fault. And so what she wanted to do was give us everything she could for Christmas. Now, back then, we didn't get a whole lot, but I did have two things I wanted more than anything else. The first one was the Bruce Jenner workout uniform, the shirt, the jogging suit. And I was incredibly excited about it, which is funny because since the divorce, I had actually gained a little weight. I'd gotten a little porky, but I still imagined if I wore the suit, I would look much more sportif and hence not look quite as porky. The other thing that I wanted, and I really wanted it more than the Bruce Jenner suit, was Mike Power. And Mike Power was G.I. Joe's version of the Bionic Man. And he was incredible. First of all, he was unbelievably skinny. I have seen him recently, and he looked so light on his feet. It's terrible. But at the time, he seemed like everything to me. And when I looked at Mike Power, Mike Power had this awesome bionic leg and one bionic arm. And then what looked like a sniper hole in the back of his head was in fact this eyepiece that you could look through, and it looked like frosted glass. And you could imagine if you actually could see through that eyepiece, it would be incredibly fun. So these are the things that I wanted for Christmas. And I got them both. And I remember sitting there Christmas morning with Mike Power, and I realized Mike Power also had a little cog in his arm. It was right here. And when you turn the cog, his hand spun. And what he also came with was this kind of rotor blade, like a helicopter blade. And you could put it in his hand and spin his arm, and it looked like he could possibly fly away to any place he wanted to go. Mike was like a self-propelled unit. And I was incredibly jealous of Mike. And I loved Mike, too. And the morning went by, and it was a great morning because I didn't have to sit there with my father, who actually hated Christmas, and tell him how much I liked everything he gave me, because he always liked to hear that. Yes, Dad, I love it. I love it, Dad. Yes, it's great, Dad. I've never gotten one better, Dad. It's great. I didn't have to say any of that. It was fantastic. My brother, sister, and I had a wonderful time playing with our toys that morning. And then, after 12, my dad arrived. And we thought, wow, this is pretty good. You know, divorce is not such a bad thing. You get two Christmases. This is going to be fantastic. And we were very excited. And I ran out in my Bruce Jenner suit. And I held Mike Power under my arm. And my brother, being smarter than I did, hopped in the backseat. My sister, not really sure what to do, hopped in the backseat after him. And I got in the seat next to my dad. And my dad looked over at me. And my dad had a really funny way of speaking, and he still does. He said, "Is that what your mother gave you?" "This? Mike Power?" He said, "Yeah. Is that what your mother gave you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "It's gonna look really stupid later." And I said, "Oh, okay. Well, that's cool." I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to make my mom look bad by telling me it would look stupid. But at the same time, I was thinking, if you can give me something better than Mike Power, man, you are giving me something great. And I am looking forward to it. So we started up the car, and I was incredibly excited. We go down the street, we get out of the neighborhood, either turn left or turn right. Well, normally, if you go left, you go to my dad's apartment. It was a depressing little place, except for the dad's presence. The thing is, we went right. And at first, I was very concerned. And I know my sister and my brother were as well, because right could lead to my grandmother's house. My grandmother was a very unique woman. First of all, she liked to make you feel guilty. And second of all, she wore these dresses with the design or a pattern of chains and locks. And it was slightly sadomasochistic. I don't know. But she was not that way, and I don't think she realized it. But she was a little scary because of that. Well, luckily, we actually didn't go to my grandmother's house. We turned about 2 miles down the road and went into this place called King's Mill. And we were incredibly excited. We drive down the street. King's Mill is beautiful, you know? We turned into this other place called Winston Flats. And there are these big, big homes. It's nice, nice places. Townhouses that, you know, are perfectly modern, just been built. And we stop. My brother, sister, and I are incredibly confused. What are we doing here? Who is having my father, who hates Christmas, for Christmas? We kind of look around. We look to my dad. My dad's kind of being coy. My dad says, "Let's get out of the car." So we get out of the car, and I'm holding Mike Power close to me, thinking, I don't want whoever it is to grab my Mike Power. So we walk around back, and my dad grabs a few presents and everything, and we're standing there, and he goes and knocks on our door. And we're wondering, all of us, what are we doing here? What's going on here? Who's going to answer the door? This is incredibly weird. Why would Dad do this to us? Who is at the door? And the door opens. And, I mean, there was this moment of shock, and everything seemed surreal, because it was actually our friend's mother, Mrs. Hoagland. And we kind of looked at her like, what the hell are you doing here? And she looked at us like, I wish you weren't here. And then she said, come on in, kids. So we walked inside, and we were in this ultra-modern hallway with white carpeting, Scandinavian furniture everywhere. My dad was there kind of looking smug. And way in the back, you could see what was supposed to be a Christmas tree, but in fact was not. It was not even close to a Christmas tree. It was a thorn bush, spray-painted white, and stuck all over with gumballs. You guys remember those from the 70s? It was unbelievably stupid-looking. And we stand there, and I can't help but look at Mrs. Hoagland and go, Mrs. Hoagland, where are Lee and Gray? Lee and Gray, of course, being our friends and her kids. And she says, they're not here. And I said, oh. And my brother said, Mrs. Hoagland? Where's Mr. Hoagland? And Mrs. Hoagland kind of sidled up to my dad. My dad looked at us and said, we're in love, kids. We are in love, and we've been in love for a long time. And we kind of stood there thinking, what the hell is happening here? And with Mrs. Hoagland? And he said, don't call her Mrs. Hoagland anymore. Call her Elaine. I said, oh, okay, Dad. And my brother said, well, where is Mr. Hoagland? And my dad said, Mr. Hoagland's kind of an asshole. He didn't love Elaine enough, so now Elaine loves me. Oh, okay, that's cool. And then Elaine said, let's go eat some dinner. So we go over and sit down and eat dinner. And it's all still kind of surreal, you know? And we're eating dinner, and Elaine reaches over and touches my hand. And she says, Scotty, maybe you don't want that extra serving. You're looking a little heavy in that running suit. And I was thinking, I just want to rip this Bruce dinner suit off! That. And I looked at Mike Power, and I'm beginning to kind of shiver. And when we're done with dinner, we walk over to the thorn bush. My dad grabs his big box and throws it to my sister. My sister looks at him, and he says, open it. So Katie opens it up, and it's Rub-a-Dub-a-Dolly. And Rub-a-Dub-a-Dolly is cool because Rub-a-Dub-a-Dolly is supposed to be like a little battleship and float in the tub. Except what we found out later is this specific Rub-a-Dub-a-Dolly had a flaw in the finger and sunk. Which is just like that Christmas. And my dad felt very smug and happy that he had given my sister Rub-a-Dub-a-Dolly, which was clearly better than anything my mom could have provided. So then he threw us, my brother and I, these kind of oblong packages. We looked at them, we had no idea what they were, and he said, open them. So we opened those. And they were sleeping bags made out of that kind of bandana fabric. They look kind of cheap. And he said, they'll take you to Five Below. And my brother and I looked at each other. It's like, yeah, they'll take us to 60. But we didn't say that. And then my dad gave us two more packages. My brother and I opened them up. And they were these kind of walkie-talkie CB radio things. My dad said, sometimes at night if you listen, you can hear truckers. I kind of wondered why I wanted to hear a truck. idea why I would, but you know, possibly you could on these walkie-talkie radios. And my brother was kind of just mad. He was not happy with the day. And he just kind of sat on the couch. He wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't going to get up or look at my dad or anything. So my dad snatched his walkie-talkie CB radio and looked at me and he said, "Scotty, go on out there about 300 yards. Go on over to, you know, the golf course area. And I'm going to give you a call." And I said, okay. So I carried Mike Powell. And I walked out there in my Bruce Jenner uniform that made me look fat. And I got over to the golf course and I turned around and I could just see my dad. And my dad lifted his walkie-talkie to his mouth and he said, Bonzo, this is Firefox. You there?" And I said, "Yeah, Dad, I'm here." He said, "Aren't these great? Yeah, Dad, they're great. Aren't these great? They're great. Yeah, I know they're great." And I was watching him as he was saying this, and Elaine, or Mrs. Hoagland, whatever the hell her name was, came out and wrapped her arm around my dad. I could see it from a distance, kind of snuggled up against him. And I felt like, I don't know, I was incredibly violent feeling at that moment. And I wanted to take that stupid damn CB radio thing and throw it on the ground and smash it. Then I wanted to burn that cheap bandana bag. But I was sitting there so frustrated, I was holding Mike Powell, which is really the only good thing in my life at that moment. And I looked at Mike, kind of teary feeling, and Mike looked back at me with that sniper hole in his head and everything. And I thought, God, Mike's so lucky. He can lift his hand and fly away. That's all he has to do. And I thought, if I could just do that, if I could just lift my hand and have a rotor blade in it, I could fly out of this place. I could leave this sorry-ass Christmas behind. Because my dad had taken what had been a great Christmas and ruined it, introducing us to Mrs. Hoagland, and she wasn't Mrs. Hoagland anymore, she was Elaine. And I was sitting there fuming and imagining myself, you know, 100 miles above the ground, just driving myself away to some deserted island somewhere where I could just sit with my power and enjoy myself, maybe lose a few pounds and look good in my jogging outfit. And then I hear, Bonzo, you still there?" "Yes, Dad." "You like that sleeping bag too? It's a nice one, isn't it?" "Yes, Dad." "It's really nice, isn't it?" "Yes, Dad." "It's really great bag, huh?" "Dad, my walkie-talkie isn't working really well." "See ya." I turned it off. And that was how our first Christmas as a broken family went. Merry Christmas.